Bold. Brave. Herb. With Dr. Pam Peek.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and this is episode number 511 of the Bold and Brave Herb podcast. Now, today I'm joined by Dr. Jeffrey Anvari Clark, who is an assistant professor in the Department of Social Work at the University of North Dakota. And here's what's cool about him. There are a lot of things cool about him, but this is the part that I thought was awesome. He's really into not just behavioral health, but the financial domain of behavioral health. And so what I found to be amazing was that he really looks at what happens to people when they have issues with finances. You lose your job, back and forth, instead of just saying, hey, you know, let's go to another town and get a new job. No, it's a heck of a lot deeper than that. And sure to form, there I was reading my latest issue of Fast Company, and Jeffrey had written an absolutely amazing blog about this whole thing. So I said, snag that guy. We need him badly because people want to know what is the spin out in terms of mental and physical health when you have all this job uncertainty, you drop a job, job loss, you know, the whole thing. So Jeffrey.
Yes.
What got you involved with this in the first place? I mean, why did you pivot to financial? Because the work you do could have gone in 28 different directions.
Oh, and it has gone in 28 different directions, Pam. But this was something where ultimately it was the outcome of my dissertation. And I had done a lot of work in working with individuals, doing their tax returns as part of the Volunteer Income Tax Assistance or the VITA program. I had done financial coaching. I had done financial advising. And then I had also done eviction prevention. And so doing a lot of that case management work, talking with people who are on the verge of getting evicted from their homes, maybe they had lost their jobs, and seeing all of the stresses and the anxieties and then the sometimes problematic coping behaviors, you know, their addictions would rise up. Seeing all of that, I saw how intimately it was influenced with their financial well-being.
I think that's fabulous. So you were inspired early on to say, well, wait a minute, it's not just their financial well-being. You were watching them pivot to self-destructive behaviors at the same time, right?
Oftentimes, yes. I feel anxious, and so I'm going to smoke marijuana. That was a very huge coping mechanism for a lot of folks in Baltimore. And at the same time, then they would have additional anger or anxiety issues. And so it would spiral in part because of the financial situation.
Huh. So in this blog that you wrote, I just thought it was fabulous. It really kind of, it was very comprehensive. It kind of went through the whole thing, including the research here, which I thought was amazing. So you started this, you did a study that you published in 2023. One of the things that you found was how a person felt about a decline in income mattered 20 times more than the actual financial change itself. So what does that mean?
That was one little line in my dissertation, and yet it was so profound and had such a huge impact on me, just simply understanding, whoa, what's going on here? I was trying to measure this idea of financial precarity. It's kind of a fancy word for when life is kind of on the skids and we're not really sure if we're going to make it or not. A lot of times people will measure that as how much money do I have in my bank account? Do I have $400 that I can toss at a financial problem? Do I have that on hand? That's a very objective measure. At the same time, there were these subjective measures, how I feel about it. I can have $1 million in the bank and still be anxious about my finances because I don't believe it's enough. It has this objective and subjective component to it. And so I was putting together different measures and variables, trying to figure out, well, which side of the line do they fit on? And I was thinking, well, if you have a drop in income, you know, and oftentimes that is in terms of losing your job, then that's a tangible, measurable, objective issue where you do not have as much money coming into the household. So I put that on the objective side. Well, when I ran the model, what I found was it actually had very little bearing with the rest of those objective measures. But when I put it over onto the subjective side, that's where it blossomed. What that told me was how you feel about that job loss or that loss of income, that's what really matters in terms of your sense of precarity or are we going to be able to make it? And I was reflecting on that this morning in terms of some of the clients that I had who were extremely low income, and they would bounce from one job. Maybe they would be unemployed for a little while. Then they would go to another job. And this was a very normal part of functioning. They didn't like it, but they knew that they would be able to bounce through it. And so losing their work had, yeah, some technical aspects about it, but it wasn't the catastrophe that it would be for somebody who has always had a job, who has had the stability and benefits of federal employment. And then now, perhaps to know that, yes, I've been let go, or I think we're even seeing some ambiguous loss here. They don't know if they're still employed or not. Are they going to be called back to the office? And so all of that uncertainty, as well as being in a situation that they've never had to cope with before, is causing all kinds of stress and anxiety.
Do you see different personality types here?
Yes.
You know, in terms of coping abilities and back and forth, because, you know, it clearly isn't just the government. JP Morgan and large companies are all doing major switch ups and releasing a lot of their employees. Amazon did. And so I'm always a kind of a nutcase about that word resilience, what it takes. And you mentioned someone who was kind of, well, what you're really looking for is how do you cope immediately? You've been given this sometimes big surprise. Maybe you never saw it coming, which makes it even more astounding to you. So tell us about the personalities behind this, because out there in the Her podcast land, we have a lot of listeners and viewers who are saying to themselves, right now, I'm in such uncertainty, I'm not sure, or I just found out I got pink slipped and I'm out of here. My gosh, I don't even know where to begin. And other people saying, you know, it happened. Maybe this is, you know, they close one door, three others open, and maybe it's a good thing. What kind of personality?
There are a lot of different personality scales out there, and I've looked at some of them. There are even financial personality scales out there and tools that can help an individual understand their money habits and behaviors and attitudes. That last point that you were talking about, it made me think of optimism versus pessimism. So that's a very dichotomous, you know, you're either one or the other. Sometimes you're on the brink there on the baseline. But if we're more optimistic, then we are going to determine that, hey, you know what? Maybe this is a blip. Maybe I can look at this as a stepping stone rather than a stumbling block, and use it as an opportunity to try something new that I've always been wanting to. Maybe it's time to now start that new business that never had the time to really address. That could be one approach that a person could take. And with the ramifications that by starting down that path, they are able to put in place a structure for them to do something to get out of their own head and to be of service to others. And this has a big, big impact for one's sense of resilience and being able to engage with others, to have that regular daily interactions that are needed for our social health and as well as our mental health. And then, you know, eventually either the business will take off or it'll flounder, or it'll be something that you do in the meantime while you're trying to look for a regular 9-to-5 job. A lot of things can pan out, but that in itself can be a resilience mechanism.
Something occurs to me.
Yeah.
During COVID, that was a cesspool of people dropping their jobs and having to actually switch them around a lot, going from in-office to remote, to losing their job, to having their job changed up quite a bit to be able to accommodate all of that. People looked at that during that period of time, because I can imagine the health consequences of the lockdown all by itself, multiplied by what was going on in people's social environments and looking at their behavior. What do you think?
Absolutely. Truth be told, I was speaking from experience personally, but it was before the pandemic. After I completed my master's of social work, I had a one-month stint teaching financial education to some high school students, and then I found myself without a job for the first time ever, and since I'd started working. So really needing to figure out, well, what do I do with my days? Sending out lots of applications. And after about 2 weeks, I said, I'm done with this whole unemployment thing. This is doing really dark things to my head. So I started an app and I started a magazine on the App Store for iPad. And I learned things and I got to be creative. And I kept sending out the applications and, you know, continued to network. And about 2 months later, my network came through and I was able to get a job. But I was so much happier being engaged. Now, fast forward to what you were asking about with the pandemic. One of the things that I do know from some of the research is that we had individuals who were able to rely on their families. So being able to have that good social health, which is a domain of behavioral health. If you're lonely, that's going to have huge repercussions for your mental health and for your physical well-being. I mean, that was in the last administration, that was called one of these pandemics, loneliness. And so if you had good social health, you were able to call on friends and family who maybe were able to help you out to look for a job or to at least tide you over to help out with some of your rent, as well as to confide in. So for all that emotional experience, and the pandemic was a very emotional time, if they had people they were able to talk with, then they were able to be just that much more resilient as a result. So I think that's a really important piece for how people were able to make it through then the pandemic.
Wow. Okay. Listen, when we come back, I'm going to be asking you about the health consequences. And this includes both mental as well as physical health. The Her Podcast is sponsored by Solaray Vitamins, Minerals, and Herbs, all rooted in nature. In addition to women's multivitamins, Solaray, S-O-L-A-R-A-Y, is presenting the new Her Life Stages products, providing support for the menstrual years, including PMS, perimenopause, menopause, and postmenopause, and even libido. This integrative holistic approach has a woman's back throughout her entire life journey. To learn more about Her Life Stages, you've got options. You can run on over to your local health food store or check it out at Whole Foods, Sprouts, Amazon, or scroll over to Solaray.com and use promo code HER20 for 20% off your purchase. Women, Solaray's got your back. All right. Now, I want to understand, because this really sounds, if I can sort of summarize a little bit, there are different personalities out there. People take the very difficult experience of losing a job quite differently. You know, there's probably a huge bell-shaped curve, lots of personalities involved. My feeling is that, as you said, I think the optimists win out here. And also, those who have a very good social support system so that they can be buoyed up during very tough times, those storms of life. And you get a chance to be able to regroup with, hopefully, love and support and friendship around you. And that helps. But when you have this somewhat calamity happened when suddenly you don't have that job, there are real physical and mental consequences. Why don't you run through that a little bit?
It's a tough one, for sure. When we have that drop in income, it is associated then with, say, having financial anxiety. So it's not just anxiety, but it's anxiety that is coupled with this financial situation that is driven by your finances. And this is something that they've actually started measuring and have a burgeoning field to try and understand. So it can spike your anxiety levels. It's, as for me, getting into a situational depression, it can have big impact on your mental health. And a lot of times mental health also gets into when we talk about this coping health. Are we drinking more? Are we using substances? Are we engaging in compulsive behaviors? Maybe we're being a little bit more reckless. Those of us who perhaps are optimists might be a little bit more risk tolerant, and so more willing to take risks. Well, that can be a good thing, perhaps in a business sense, but at the same time, there can be such thing as too much risk, for sure. You know, sometimes people can get into their gambling addictions. So these have, you know, very profound implications. And I think one of the concepts that comes from scarcity and this idea of complexity theory, from physics and from science, and you know, we talk about the butterfly effect and chaos. But one of the ideas that comes from this is this idea of feedback loops, and things can just spiral out of control. And one thing can feed on the next, can feed on the next, can feed on the next. And pretty soon our finances and our emotional health and our physical well-being and our relationships, everything has just spiraled out of control because one negative component was then feeding the next. That's on that mental side and the relationship side. On the health and more physical health side, we have learned that there is an incredible relationship between stress and the body. As a person has more and more and more stress, it takes a toll on the body. You can see it in the person's skin. When I was a financial advisor, I had stress and I had a pain in my stomach every single day that I worked. And it wasn't until I went to a conference with a completely different group of people that I noticed, oh, I don't have the pain in my stomach anymore. Because for me and my own risk tolerance, I couldn't handle it. And so I needed to find something that was more in tune with me. Being able to really see and feel what impact does the stress have is not just, you know, okay, I had a tummy ache, but that tummy ache can lead to an ulcer. That stress can lead to not just upset stomach, but to gastric reflux or GERD. It can also lead to an impact if we have other kind of chronic health conditions. So when we have this financial stress that maybe we're now experiencing combined with a diagnosis for cancer, the technical term is financial toxicity. And this will impact our ability to heal. The stress prevents the body from healing because you don't have the financial resources to pay for the treatment, to pay for all of the medications. As well as you're now, you know, in order to go to these appointments to get treated from cancer, you have to not work because you've got to actually go physically to the appointment. So you're bringing in less income, you've got higher medical bills, and all of this is now being recognized as taking a toll on the body and preventing it from doing the best job it can to try and heal.
It's interesting. In my laboratory, as my wonderful audience out there knows, that when I was at the National Institutes of Health, almost all my work was concentrated on stress hormone, with the impact on the human body. And having a little stress acutely is fine. Someone just came up behind you and scared you. We're done, right? Within a matter of a couple minutes. But that chronic stress is absolutely toxic to the human body and the brain, let alone the psyche. One of the things we found is that, to your point, there's no mystery as to where so many of our aches and pains come from under stress. Those are itises. Itis means inflammation of. So if you already have issues with tendonitis, dermatitis, with, you know, whatever the issue may be, it'll be much more worsened when you have chronic stress. This is also where you, I would imagine, you descend into the rabbit hole of helplessness, hopelessness, and defeat, where then you become more self-destructive because it's a, oh, well, what the hell kind of situation. And when that takes place, we overeat, we don't exercise, we don't engage with other people. And basically, it's a death spiral. This is one of the reasons why I was so attracted to this whole issue of the impact of what's happening today all across the country and, quite frankly, all around the world, when people's livelihood is threatened, however that may, whatever form that takes, whether it's just a complete termination or a demotion or a, however that works. This has a huge impact on mental and physical health. And that actually, in your blog, you made it clear there was a systematic review of 65 studies that found very clear connections between debt and mental health problems, depression, and even suicide attempts, right?
Yeah. As you said, a little bit of stress can actually be good for us. We call that eustress, E-U-S-T-R-E-S-S. And that gets you up in the morning. We need that in little doses. But what you said then, in terms of that chronic stress, the day in, day out experience of financial precarity and the sense of scarcity, that takes a huge toll on the body. When I lived in Baltimore, there are zip codes that more or less overlap neighborhoods. And you could have two different zip codes and would show a life expectancy difference of about 20 years.
Easy.
20 years,
yep. Yep.
Just by moving from one zip code to the next, one right next to each other. And a lot of that had to do with racism and redlining. If people are experiencing the inability to make ends meet, the inability to have vacation and time off from work when they're sick, to have maternity leave, to have all of these things that become really important, or that they have to continue to work until they die rather than being able to save for retirement. All of those things will impact the longevity of a person's lifespan. And that is then one of the things that they're seeing, that there is a cumulative impact. It builds on each other, you know, in a snowball fashion over a person's lifespan. We know that good health behaviors will then translate into a life that's well-lived and long into your 80s and maybe even your 90s. But if you have these financial issues, you don't have the health insurance, if you've got that chronic stress, these types of things early on will accumulate stress in the body and will lead to a lower quality of life, a lower quality of health, as well as then just simply shorter lifespans.
You know, I did a TED talk for Wall Street, and it was literally on health and wealth. And when I said wealth, I just define that as, to your point, having enough money to stay healthy. So if you can't afford a pair of sneakers, you're not taking that walk, is the simplest way to be able to look at that. So when you're looking at a way to cope in a more positive way, you had some really great points in your blog where it was headed, moving on in healthy ways. So, and you use the R word, resilient. I was happy. And you said, to be sure, some people become more resilient after losing their job by adopting positive coping strategies. But regardless, it's an incredibly important thing to just pick up those healthy lifestyles. So what is it? What do you do?
Back when I was studying this whole thing, this financial domain of behavioral health, one part of the picture was this financial precarity, which we've talked about. But another significant part of the picture is what we call financial efficacy. It has to do with your problem-solving ability, your emotional regulation, your ability to carry out and seek out goals, to set them, and then to work towards them. So it's what you can do about it. If the precarity is the negative side of the coin, what you do about it is encapsulated in the efficacy. Now, what you had mentioned there, in terms of stress actually being a good piece, this is where we're, okay, is this going to be a stumbling block or is it a stepping stone? It's now finally time that I start learning how to budget my money. That may be a practice that we'd been putting off. You know, we had enough income that we could, you know, just kind of ride out any issue that we had. Well, now we don't have the income. Now we actually do need to be looking and be more mindful of how we're spending our money. So being able to put together some of those practices on a daily basis, that can be a really important part of how do we make it through this time to be able to maintain the roof over our head, to be able to enjoy my time, but maybe doing so at a less of a income-based rate. So go for a walk in the park, go for coffee instead of a full-on dinner with a friend, because what's important there is the relationship. As we start thinking about some of those strategies, that's where we can actually build up our resilience as a result of this negative situation. But in turn, we're actually strengthening our sense of efficacy.
Interesting. There's that wonderful saying, the obstacle is the way.
The obstacle is the way.
Absolutely. You know, those Stoics, they're always just spitting out these one-liners. And you're like, huh, let me think about that. Oh, he's absolutely correct. It's sort of another opportunity to learn. I mean, we have countless, endless life lessons here. So what I usually like to say to people as well, piling on what you've just said, is just make physical activity. Notice I didn't say the E word and didn't say exercise. Just make physical activity, especially outdoors, getting out of yourself, an absolute regular habit. Just do something modest. Walking in a park, you noted. How about calling up a buddy and just walking with that buddy? Something I love to call a walk and talk. Now, where does all this get us? Did it suddenly, you know, create income? No, what it did, I believe, is it gave you the ability, the coping mechanisms now, the strong foundation to be able to withstand the challenges that are coming up. What? You're on your 32nd interview? That's okay. All I do is remember that it took Stephen King 33 rejections, and then the next one was the acceptance, and that was his very first book, Carrie. And the rest of it's legend. But he just hung in there. It's like, okay, I'm going to handle another rejection. It wasn't easy. It was horrible. But there it was. I believe it's also having faith in yourself, having a sense of who you are. It's like, I'm good. I'm really good at what I do. And I need to sit with this for a minute. Everything happens for a reason. Yeah, I'm one of those people. Everything happens for a reason. All right. So what's the lesson here? Could it be it was time for me to pivot anyway? All right, let's sit with that one. What are the other opportunities? What do I really want to do? Maybe I was just, you know, had Stockholm syndrome with my last job and I really didn't want to feel imprisoned anymore. Could be that. There are so many different ways of perceiving this. Then so many people, and you said this very beautifully in the blog, that if you're given a certain amount of money, guess the one thing that you're not going to spend it on? It's your health, you know, and you need that short-term, good-tasting something to make yourself feel better and all the rest of it. And you're not thinking about your health at all because you're in crisis mode. I mean, reasonably speaking, Jeffrey, isn't there just kind of a period of time when people just need to kind of sit with it? Isn't that okay? I mean, it's not like you're pivoting on a dime, like, whoa, lost a job. Let's look at those opportunities. Instead, isn't there kind of a soft place here where you just have to think about it? What do you think?
Absolutely. so many of us, especially in the United States, we identify with our job and what it is that we do. It's a part of our identity. And so if we're not doing that, then that is a huge part of the self that is being ostensibly ripped away. And so there's a little bit of a death there and a bit of mourning and grief that we may need to do to come to a sense of acceptance of our situation. I think that becomes a really important piece of how we proceed through it. At the same time, you know, you mentioned, I think it was the going for the walk, and it may not help you find a job. One of the things that I've often said is you can say a prayer or you can meditate. Again, sitting with it, connecting with and listening to your inner self, that's not going to help you get a job, but it is going to help you reframe how you feel about it. And that reframing and feeling more centered, feeling less anxious, will enable us to then be able to proceed with a greater sense of dignity that maybe losing this job was not my fault. It was out of my hands, that I can come to accept the reality that is. To the extent that I can read my reality, I can then be detached and I can let go of these things. And then I can begin to move on. Being able to engage in that deep spiritual, meditative, interpersonal work, you grab onto that, and then you can begin to move forward and start sending out the job applications, start talking with other people, start that networking, and not have the shame about it.
I love that. And I'll put money on it. Men do it differently than women. I'm just saying. Let's get real here. This is the Her Podcast. So many of these women have kids at home. So many of these women are the main financial backbone for the family and back and forth. So I'm going to put my money on the fact that women's level of stress is different, if I dare say higher. Am I right?
Oh, yeah. I'm absolutely sure. And that we handle the stress differently. Yeah, you can measure stress, but I think handling it differently. I mean, I even look at my wife, and there have been periods where she was the breadwinner, and I was the one at home taking care of the kids. And this idea that we handle the stress differently, internalizing that stress, which I would do, which is how it, you know, manifested in my tummy aches. At the same time, I would compartmentalize. I would try and, you know, kind of move those things over and not think about them and instead focus on something else. So I knew that that's what worked for me. But I know that for my wife, she has a much more difficult time compartmentalizing because she looks at things in a much more holistic and experiences things in a much more holistic way. At the same time, you need to know yourself. We're talking in absolutes here, and I think spectrums are much more how it is that we are truly operating. And, you know, I'm certainly not representative of all men. But to understand what is it about me, what is going to work for me, what is in line with my truth and my spiritual values, or what's going to help. And so it's going to be different for different people. For me, I like to run through the woods and go trail running. For other people, you know, they like to row. For others, they like to go for coffee and talk with somebody. So knowing what it's going to help you to manage those stresses, to help you cope, that's an important piece. And that's part of the human journey, is understanding how you tick, to know thyself, is a really important piece, because if you know yourself, then you can know, how do I engage with the rest of the world in a productive and healthy manner?
Just said so beautifully. As I've always found, if you really want to know all about yourself, experience and live through a very tough time. Now we're going to see what happens. It's sort of like that, a great athlete out there at Wimbledon, all right, everything's looking good and, you know, been practicing all this time and back and forth, then all of a sudden it rains or the winds are blowing like there's no tomorrow. Something happens, right? So can you pivot? Can you adapt and adjust? Or do you just become paralyzed, which is always there? So this gives you a chance to test and refine your resilience, the way I look at it. And God bless everyone out there in the United States of America who's going through job uncertainty right now, who may have been terminated from a job or back and forth. God, my heart is with every single one of you. These are challenging times, needless to say. This is why this podcast, I thought, was going to be so important. And it is. This has been a fabulous discussion. And I want to end this with how you ended the blog. I thought it was beautiful. So I'm going to read your words. Keeping healthy habits is always important, but they could protect your mental and physical well-being during challenging times. Losing a paycheck is hard enough. Losing your health over it is even worse. I just thought that nailed it. It's like, let's all think about this before we stop sleeping, begin to drink alcohol, go down self-destructive rabbit holes, you know, just doing that. Stop. Give yourself a little grace. No question. Take some time to process. You know, but during that time, please, no self-destruction. All right, you can have one cupcake. I'm just kidding. You know where I'm going. Just simply saying, please keep all of that in mind. And you're not alone either. I'll bet there's communities out there on Reddit and Facebook and all the rest of it where you can also commune with other people, especially if you tend to be more of a solo act out there in life. Seek out support. If you don't have a superb family, heck, make one. And that's always an option. And that's, quite frankly, you're in better control. You could pick your own, as it were. But I just think that this was such an important podcast for everyone to hear as this wonderful country of ours is going through so many different challenges as we're really challenged with what's going on in the economy itself and the changes and strategies that are actually occurring that affect so many people out there. So you know what it does? It fills me with compassion. And that's the way I look at this entire topic. So, all right, you've got one more hit at a golden nugget for everyone. Just give them hope.
Thank you. Yes. Don't give up hope. Know that there are others out there. And, you know, to that extent, have compassion for yourself. But if you do have a job, have compassion for others and recognize that, you know, being laid off, especially in these times, it's not a personal failing. So to really own that, it's not your fault, to then recognize that, hey, you know what, because others may also understand what you're going through, then, you know, they may be pretty looking and wanting to help you find another job. And so if you've got all those feelers out there, then it's simply a matter of time.
I love it. This is so amazing. Everyone, as you know, we've been talking with Dr. Jeffrey Anvari Clark, who is an assistant professor in the Department of Social Work at the University of North Dakota. Such beautiful words of wisdom. Thank you so much, Jeffrey.
Thank you, Pam.
Oh, man, this is so good. Look, I want to give another shout out to my sponsor, Solaray Vitamins, Minerals, and Herbs Rooted in Nature, and the new Her Life Stages products. Scope them out at solaray.com. And hey, now take a moment to leave us a review because we love to hear from you. Now we just sit around waiting. So a little team here. Oh, so this has been a production of Podcast Health. A little reminder here. Your time in this world may be limited, but the things you can do with that time are not. So get on out there and seize the day. A little bit of carpe diem, as I always say. Thanks for listening, everyone.